The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion. The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. We welcome you once again to our program, The Clear Criterion. Insha'Allah, we will focus on some reflections, some lessons from the Quran, some important reminders from the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in light of the commentary of these words, some reminders through the prophetic traditions. We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our endeavors to share the messages of the Quran and Sunnah. Before we go on to or continue with our main theme from the Quran itself, following our routine, I would like to share with you a beautiful reminder in terms of or regarding sending, invoking blessings upon our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. The reminder involves the companion Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala an, who actually expressed to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam that he had decided to devote all the time that he would give to litanies and invocations and extra prayers. He devoted that time, or he pledged that he would devote all that time to invoking blessings in favor of the best in creation sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And he was asking the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam about this. In response, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam revealed to him and through him to us that if he did this, then this would be enough to remove or alleviate all his worries and his sins would be forgiven. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. A beautiful, powerful reminder for us that if one devotes time to invoking blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, concerns and worries will be alleviated. There will be relief in terms of concerns and worries. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam did not specify whether he referred to worries or concerns of this world or the hereafter or both. And as there is no specifying, it's not been in any way restricted, we always take the general rule in understanding the verses of the Quran and the prophetic traditions or instructions from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, being that if it's general, it is maintained as general until there is another evidence which proves otherwise. So for us, there is hope, and it's not a far-fetched hope, that if we invoke blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, our concerns in general, our worries in general will be alleviated, and concerns and worrying a lot and stressing leads to anxiety. For normal people, some people suffer from anxiety. When the mind is not at rest, the performance of an employee or the general lifestyle of anyone can be affected. When the mind is content to a certain degree, when there is some satisfaction or peace of mind, as we say, then our affairs seem to be easier, or we are in a better condition to face the day-to-day tasks that are part of our living. So for us, insha'Allah, we hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through salat ala nabi, through sending prayers of blessings for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, we hope and pray our concerns in this world and in the hereafter are alleviated. And also another reminder that sins will be forgiven too, and this is a reminder from or reiterated in other hadith traditions where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam revealed the same. Moving on to the main theme of our program, the topics that we were discussing, or the main focus of discussion, had been the response of the Israelites in general, or specifically the Jews of Madinatul Munawwara, to the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Some traits of these people were mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how they are people who yearn for living, And they were people who made a claim that the hereafter is only for them and it only belongs to them. So they were challenged that if they are true in their claim or they believe in this claim, let them desire death. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also revealed they will never desire death. They will never want death for themselves. For in reality and deep down, they know about their deeds. They know about their transgressions. They know about what they have neglected from the true message of their scripture and the message of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And they also are aware of their personal feelings and whether or not feelings of jealousy or animosity and enmity have developed within their hearts, and they're simply denying the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for reasons other than religious evidence. The religious evidence is there. The claim of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is true, as per the teachings of the previous scriptures, which many of them were aware of, and also the signs that they saw in the person, in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself as a person, the very signs that they observed and witnessed, these were signs for them too, but they did not accept some of them. And they mentioned some strange things, and towards the end of the last episode, we mentioned how the Jews of Madinatul Munawwara, they went as far as expressing their enmity for Sayyidina Jibreel. And they mentioned that if it's Jibreel alayhi salam who came with the message, then he is our enemy, they expressed in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, citing reasons such as in the past, punishment and retribution, divine retribution came through him. And for this reason, they seem to try to justify the aversion to Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. And the verse after this answers this or refutes this whole idea and gives some more background or gives some more insight in terms of what the general approach or the belief should be towards angels in light of tafsir. I share with you the next verse, verse 98, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًّا لِلَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَجِبْرِيلَ وَمِيكَالَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌّ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. Whosoever is an enemy of Allah, His angels, His messengers, Jibreel and Mikael, then Allah is the enemy of the disbelievers. So, being an enemy of one angel in light of the commentary of this verse is like being an enemy of all angels. Just like disrespecting one prophet is akin to disrespecting all prophets. The angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the chosen, honorable, noble creation of the Almighty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are close to Allah, those who are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as expressed in that famous divine hadith Qudsi, where our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam revealed that Allah himself has said that whosoever shows enmity to a friend of mine, I have declared war against him. So those who are chosen and beloved in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we as creation, as human beings, must be very careful about our feelings towards them. So here, this enmity towards one angel cannot be isolated or cannot be something which is separated from the rest of the angels. Disrespect of Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam is akin to disrespect of all the angels. And the Prophets alayhi salam, it is incumbent upon us that we respect and honor every single messenger, every single prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alayhi salam. If someone disrespects Isa alayhi salam and claims to respect Musa alayhi salam and other prophets, he would leave the fold of Islam. If someone honors the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam but disrespect Prophet Isa or Prophet Musa alayhi wa sallam, then he will still leave the fold of Islam, because it is a necessity of our faith that the prophets in general, every prophet is an esteemed individual and an esteemed personality in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are afforded the utmost respect. And we will come towards this theme, inshallah, later in our program if we are able to reach that particular verse. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ. And indeed we sent down to you clear verses. وَمَا يَكْفُرُ بِهَا إِلَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ. And they are only rejected by the evildoers. So those who witnessed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the proclamation, they witnessed the truth because those signs had been mentioned in their books. The verses of the truth, the verses or the true words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the previous scriptures and in the final book revealed to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam all serve as clear signs, clear verses. And whether the community of that time chose to accept those verses or not, that was something that was upon them. In particular, Ibn Surya is mentioned, who was a leading clerical figure for the Jewish community of Medina. He actually had the audacity to say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you've not brought anything that we recognize. So his claim was that, you know, whatever you bring is new to us. We are not aware, we do not recognize, we're not acquainted with any of your claims or your proclamation. And along these lines, he made this claim that the final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his arrival and his proclamation was something alien to them. This was his claim. And he also claimed that he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that no such clear sign had been given to him which was worthy of following. This was Ibn Surya's claim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this verse refuted him, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reminded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as were the people who claimed to not know these signs, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent his beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam with clear verses of the Quran, clear signs which state what is lawful, what is unlawful. And these verses are such verses that cannot really be denied, for they support or confirm or reiterate the points mentioned in their scripture. This was the reminder from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned another trait of this community, or some people of among the Israelites, what they would do historically and what some of them continue to do during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I will introduce the trait through the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Allah said, أَوَكُلَّمَا عَاهَدُوا أَهْدًا نَبَذَهُ فَرِيقٌ مِّنْهُمْ. And whenever they took an oath, a group from among them discarded it. بَلْ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. In fact, most of them do not even accept. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the people of that time, reminding the community that is denying the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it's no new thing. This denial of the truth, denial of oaths, this is not something that is new. This was something which was committed historically by their forefathers, by the Israelites in the past. And in light of this, there is a narration reported by Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminded the Jewish community of Madinatul Munawwara about faith or embracing faith. And Malik bin Saif, among that community, he responded by saying, he responded with such arrogance that he actually took an oath. He said, by Allah, no oath has been taken from us regarding you. Meaning there is no oath about yourself that our community is bound by. And in response to this, this particular verse was revealed that historically this has been the case, that when this community has expressed an oath or they made a promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a group of them turned away from it. So turning away from that promise are not giving it any significance or denying it in its entirety, denying it, totally denying a promise or oath made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was something which historically they were doing. So most of them do not even accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in his verse. And also the fact that this part of Allah's declaration that most of them do not accept, it's also interpreted as most of them do not even follow the teachings of or the true commandments of their very own book, the Torah. So if they're not following the true commandments or they're not true to their very own book, how can they be expected to acknowledge and accept an oath that they had taken or expressed in favor of the final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? If they don't even follow their book, then why would they acknowledge an oath to accept the final messenger sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam? In also, in addition to this, some of these scholars of tafsir, they say that this oath was taken from them that when the final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come during their lifetime, they would support him. They would support the messenger of Allah, the final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after his proclamation against the polytheists of Arabia. So this was an oath expressed by them in the past. And when the time came, the Prophet ﷺ confirmed his message and his proclamation, they denied this very oath which they had taken. Moving on to the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَا مَعْهُمْ. And when a messenger came to them from Allah who confirms what they have, نَبَذَ فَرِيقٌ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. A group from the people of the book discarded the book of Allah behind their backs as if they know nothing at all. So here again, the trait of some of the Israelites is mentioned, that when the messenger came, and here messenger refers to our beloved Prophet, the final messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when the verse says, and when a messenger came to them, in light of tafsir, this refers to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When such a messenger came to them, bringing what? Confirming that which they already have, meaning the Torah or the scriptures which they have access to already, this messenger that came approaches them or emerges who confirms what they already have. What is the response? If they had the truth and they had read it, understood it in their scriptures and previous scriptures, when they see the very signs that they had read about, their response should have been, we believe. Their response should have been, these are matters which we were well aware of, and we were hopeful that this event of the arrival of the final Prophet would occur during our lifetimes. But was this their response? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how a group of them discarded the book of Allah behind their backs, an expression to say they completely rejected the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What must be remembered here is that the community of Jews in Madinatul Munawwara, not only did they have the signs of the final book or the signs of the final Prophet in their own scriptures, they had the signs that they saw in the physical presence of the final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. So they could actually see, observe, question, confirm. They had that opportunity too. But despite knowing the signs mentioned in scriptures and seeing the physical traits of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, a group of them chose not to accept, and they were in complete denial, kind of blindness that was that can only be believed when one observes it or reads about it. A rational person would think that someone who is a follower of a religion, who has the information about an important event which directly affects his very own hereafter, finally sees that final event and can confirm the truth of that final event through personal interaction, yet chooses not to. Such a person is truly ill-fated, and this is arrogance beyond words. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves us from misguidance. Another point mentioned by the scholars of tafsir is that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, the Jews of Madinatul Munawwara, some of them, they took the Torah and they took the Quran and they compared it. They, side by side, they compared both scriptures. And when they found that the message and the truth in both was one and the same, they left the commandments of the Torah. For there was no other way. Either they embrace the religion based upon the true commandments of their book, or they had to refuse and deny. And after comparing the Quran and their very own book, they decided to move away from the teachings or the commandments of their very own religion. And this idea of completely neglecting the book, this of discarding behind backs, it's like a metaphor, can be understood figuratively, that it was a complete neglectful attitude, completely heedless of the book itself. And a very powerful quote that is mentioned by the great hadith scholar Sufyan ibn Uyayna radiallahu ta'ala anhu, says that the Jews, they wrapped the Torah in silk and they adorned it with gold and silver, but they did not follow or obey the commandments of the very book that they had wrapped in this silk and adorned with gold and silver. A point of reflection here, dear viewers, that is it not the case today that many believers, many Muslims, they buy the best prints of Al-Quran Al-Kareem, beautiful, expensive prints with beautiful calligraphy. Some would claim that they have Qurans that have been handwritten. Some claim to have Qurans that are centuries old and they have preserved them. But we're not talking about artifacts, we're not talking about being careful and preserving delicate items. Generally, buying the most beautiful Qur'an they can and then wrapping it in beautiful cloth, respecting it in their way by keeping it wrapped and clean and away from dust. Yet, over time, the very dust that they're protecting that Qur'an from, it's settled upon the covering that they have used to cover the Qur'an. For we are deprived of taking it out, opening it and reciting the Qur'an, which is the greater purpose. Yes, I personally admire the devotion of believers who like to express their love for the Qur'an in this way, but this is only a partial devotion. This is not a complete devotion. And this is not the most rewarding part of the devotion. The most rewarding part and the complete devotion to Al-Qur'an Al-Kareem is to recite it daily, to try to understand it through authentic translations and tafsir, through the teachings of the ulama, of the Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. This devotion of the Qur'an is completed in this manner. And this is why it's important for us to understand that just as people of the past wrapped their holy books in silk, but they did not follow the commandments of that book, we do not want to follow that path where we as people have taken the Qur'an as something that is respected or wrapped in our admiration, but the teaching and the following of the Qur'an is not there. And when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was described by Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of believers, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, her famous words, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. What was the character, conduct of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam like? The Qur'an, meaning the commands, the beautiful traits of character mentioned in Al-Qur'an Al-Kareem were the very character traits seen in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. His character, his blessed lifestyle, his conduct, the way he would talk to people, the way he would be in general. was a reflection of the teachings of the Quran. How are we to understand that if we do not even recite the Quran or have very little or no understanding of the Quran itself? Remember, every letter is rewarding, whether we understand it or not. Reciting the Quran, 10 good deeds per letter. Saying it is easy, but if we were to do it in monetary form, 10 for those in the UK, £10 per letter, and start to put that money together, we'd run out of money before we finish the ruku. But this is the test of faith. Test of faith based upon the unseen elements of this religion. We don't see the ajr, we don't see the reward, but it is there. And this is what we believe. So we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to recite the Quran to the best of our abilities, to not just keep the Quran covered, but to open it daily, to recite from it, to attain its healing, to attain contentment through it, to attain tranquility which may descend through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the correct pronunciation of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our good intentions and endeavors. Ameen bijahi Nabi Ameen. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion. The Quran is a clear criterion that guides us to the right opinion.